Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. This is the story, again, of the calling of the first disciples. I'm looking around. Ah, there it is, my sermon. When I was a kid, my home pastor one day, Ken Burnett, stood up. They were on local television. He stood up and he says, "I have left my sermon in my office. I'll be right back." Luckily, I have it right here. So Matthew 4, 12 through 23. The first part of this is about how the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah is fulfilled, and the second part about the calling of the first disciples. So listen in. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea." Doesn't that sound great? Capernaum by the sea. "In the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Isaiah wrote, 'Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned.' From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" That is the same sermon that John the Baptizer, his cousin, preached. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, in curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I pray that you would speak to us a powerful and great word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm about to admit something to you, that given the fact that I live in Mountain Home, Arkansas, and have for more than a year and a half, may sound a little crazy. Are you ready?
Ready.
I've only been fishing a handful of times, and I've not been fishing since I was about 12 or 13 years old. And in that time, I have caught one fish. One fish. Now, it happened on a Sunday morning. I was spending the weekend with my good friend Mark Hammonds. Mark's mom, Jean Hammonds, was a student of my dad. And so they had known each other for a generation. And Mark and his sister Stacy and I had known each other for a generation. We used to live in the same neighborhood, but then the Hammonds moved to Southside. If you know Jackson, Tennessee, you got Northside, you got Southside, and JCM kind of in the middle, Jackson Central. And so they moved out there to this lovely place, right off the highway, down a dirt road and up a hill. There was a pond on the left as you entered the property, and on the very back was a log cabin. It was picturesque. You felt like you were living in the woods. Choir, I'd like to have a place like that right now. I mean, a pond and a cabin. It was kind of perfect. So I spent the weekend with the Hammonds that weekend. And I got there on Saturday morning, and we went to that pond. I was told that it was full of fish. Mark's dad, John Hammonds, caught fish. Mark caught fish. Mark's sister, Stacy, caught fish. Not me. Not me. I was skunked. I had never caught a fish. The next morning, on our way to church, Mr. Hammonds was taking us to church, His wife, Jean, is already at the church. She played the organ for the church. Stopped at the pond and said, "You really ought to be able to catch a fish this morning." So we got out of the truck. He got a fishing pole for himself and one for me. He put the bait on the fishing pole. We cast the line into that pond, and almost immediately, boom, here came the fish. I caught my first fish. It was about this big. I had big plans for that fish. I was thinking fish fry. I was thinking mounted on the wall. I was thinking, right, take a picture of it at least, but it was before cell phones. And you know what he did? He took it off the line, and he threw it into the pond. And I have no proof that I ever caught that fish, but I did. It's true. It's my story. This week, I ran across the story of a man from Germany who in 2013 caught a 513-pound Atlantic halibut. A little bigger than my fish. Just a little bigger, right? The halibut was 9 foot long. He couldn't pull it into his boat. They towed it to shore. And there's a picture. You can look this up. It's a true. This isn't just a fishing story. This is a true story, right? He says it took him an hour and a half to get that fish in. Talk about your fishing story. And it's actually a true story. I ran across a rule about fishing. Maybe you fishermen can attest. 80% of the fish are caught by 20% of the people. In 20% of the waters, using 20% of the lures. I don't know. I don't know. It sets the scene this morning, though, all of this, for a curious line in our scripture lesson that reads, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Or as a New International Version puts it, "Follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Every January, the lectionary lessons, and this is next week's lectionary passage, ask us pastors to preach on following Jesus, on the call of the disciples. And the idea here is if we hear that call, maybe we too will want to dedicate our following Jesus a little closely in the new year. In Matthew's gospel, this is the first thing that Jesus does. I mean, he's baptized, right? Last week we thought about that. He's whisked away to the wilderness where he endures temptation. We'll get to that in the season of Lent. But here, this is the first thing that he does. He heads to Capernaum by the sea. And one day he walks by that sea of Galilee. And he sees two brothers, Simon, who we'll call Peter a little later, and Andrew. And they are fishing. And Jesus says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people." So they did that. And then they went up a little farther up the Sea of Galilee's coast, and they saw two more brothers, James and John, Zebedee's boys. You know, I said this last year. There was a sign over the pier that said Zebedee and Sons Fishing Company. He was proud, right? Jesus walks by, and they got to change the sign. I'll think about what would have happened that night at the dinner table when Mrs. Zebedee says, "Honey, where are my boys?" Well, this preacher came by today, and here's the usual sermon. Here's the usual sermon. I've preached on this passage before. If Jesus were to come by your house or your school or your business and said, "Drop everything and follow me," could you do it? Would you do it? And then I would talk to you, as I usually have, about what discipleship and following Jesus looks like in 2026. But I saw something different, and I want to bring it to you this morning. I don't think this is just a call to follow Jesus. No, I think Jesus is pretty clear here. This is a call to invite others to follow Jesus too. I mean, you don't really need a sermon on following Jesus, do you? I mean, you're sitting in a pew this morning. You're following Jesus, right? So let me go a little deeper. Look at that line again. In the Message, it says this: come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. Very specific, right? And that's what Jesus did. For 3 years, he taught them how to fish for people. Through the stories that he told, we call parables, from the teachings he offered, from the miracles he performed, for his compassion for others, by his willingness to go to the cross and his willingness to rise out of that for resurrection, for eternal life. And on the very end of this gospel, he has what we call the Great Commission. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or, if you want to use our verse today, go fishing. So I got to thinking about that. And here's my question. What kind of bait do you use today to catch people? Is it good preaching or great coffee? Is it good music like our choir? Or is it good programs? Or is it mission ministries like Chris told us about and like you read about this morning? I want to stop here for just a moment and say this. This is not just about evangelism. This is about formation. Are y'all with me this morning? What I mean by that is that what I'm inviting you into and what I'm inviting others into is a lifelong following of Jesus. Amen? Amen. To invite people into that. I ran across a great article written by someone who pays attention to polls and trends and this sort of thing. And he has this poll and this thing that he wrote about millennials, those who are between the ages of 29 and 44. Anybody in the room in that age range? A few of you. What he said about that age range, I think, is true of all of us. May I bring those to you this morning? He has seven. I'm going to give you four. Here's the first. Here's the first that he says. He says, character matters. People are looking for character. And particularly, they're looking for character in pastors and in leadership in the church. They want to know that what you say and how you live it go hand in hand. Does that make sense? The next one's on me. Number two's on me. And it says, people are looking for a message that connects to their everyday lives. They want a sermon that is relevant, practical, it's about relationships, that are about purposes, that deals with anxiety, and talks about where faith and culture meet. A sermon that will last well into Monday afternoon. I always have said, if I have a sermon that lasts past Sunday's lunch, I feel pretty good about that. Here, this guy says, no, it's Monday. It's Monday. That one's on me, and I spend a lot of time doing that. The next one's on you. They are looking for relationships and a community. You know, I preached about this before Christmas. I'm big on this. Community and relationships are very important in the church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It is so true. What people are looking for is someone to spend time with, someone who they can give their heart to, someone who will have their attention, someone that they can connect with, someone that they can grow with, someone that they can serve with together. That's what people are looking for in a church. And I ran across this line. This doesn't mean that everyone knows everyone. You may or may not know everyone in this church, but what this does mean is that everyone knows someone. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Everyone knows someone. And when they come to church, they're looking for that someone. Those are three. Here's the last one. Churches that focus only on themselves won't thrive. Churches that focus on their community and mission thrive. Man, I've got a page full of that stuff right here. From backpack ministry to feeding ministries, this week we were a hub for those donations in our community, for those who were in fire victims in an apartment. I mean, there was stuff everywhere. We must focus on our community, and we must focus on our mission. Now, Jesus' call is clear. We are to fish for people. Whether you catch a big fish like I did when I was about 12 years old, or a 513-pound Atlantic halibut, or a good friend, come and fish with me and learn more about Jesus. That's the call.